Hey, yo, lesson here.
The B.
You come at the king, you best not miss.
Three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous. From the beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stick.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. For people arriving for the first time, this is a podcast about the Australian and New Zealand Basketball League. We do it weekly. We have a lot of fun. My name is Joseph Corr. If you really enjoy the show, consider becoming a patron. This is not going well, but consider becoming a patron. We really appreciate it. We actually had a new patron this week, Mr. Magnate. So, Brett, thank you very much for coming along board. Andrew is my co-host, media accredited. NBL Media accredited business manager from Perth, Andrew Kenyon.
Hello, Joe. You'll have heard from the introduction, things are a little bit different around here tonight. Mm. You know, we set up a Discord server to, you know, cater to our audience of listeners. It's been a pretty friendly place to hang out.
Totally.
Until today.
Oh.
Yeah, you heard it in the clip. The B. You know, you start taking cheap shots at the host.
Mm.
You got to be careful because yeah. I'll come back right at you. So if you're going to start slinging the mud and throwing shade my way about being a little bit of a freeloader, well, as we heard in the clip, you come at the king. You best not miss.
Let me tell you something about Canyon, okay? This guy gets media accredited, free tickets, buffet food, Diet Cokes, women at every game he goes to. That's in the contract. This man is the king. And you, B, you're nothing but a queen, right? Now, I think that's actually more valuable in a hive, but you know what? Fuck it, whatever.
There you go, the B.
Yeah.
Although, before I go too far,
bring
down
your
this
A
line,
game, B, or we'll see what happens.
That's a good one, actually.
That's an ad lib too. That's what we do in this program. We like to waste the first 2 minutes of people's time up the top of the program, and then we actually talk about the basketball. That's
but I will say, the B, for all your shade thrown my way, please continue on with your Patreon membership, and we appreciate you very much.
And the Discord people, if you want to talk NBL, if your appetite's not quite whet, jump on the Discord, talk some shite. Let's talk about some games and some happenings. I want to talk about Dean Vickerman. Just before we jumped on the pod or thereabouts, he's come out and given a pretty slapdash apology for people that may have missed it in the press conference, got asked a question by ESPN's Kane Pittman. Because on this podcast, when people ask a question and when we recite them, we quote the person's name. He did well. It was a good question. And Vickerman he forgot where he was. And went
something
on this,
happened, yeah.
Oh, he went on this love affair with Jack White. He was like, his offensive game was this and that, and his bedroom eyes and tight buns. I was like, Dean, snap out of it, man. You've got three imports already. So that's what he did. He basically said, Jordan Caroline, yeah, we're moving on from him. Kenyon, thoughts, queries, concerns? What do you think?
I didn't like it. As much as I like
how could someone, yeah.
I love an honest quote in a press conference, right? But that just went a little bit too far. I could almost feel David Aquero, who's sitting next to Dean, sort of just like, sort of looking around like, help.
It was honestly.
He started to look at the stat sheet like, ooh, this is a little uncomfortable.
Sorry to jump in a bit. It was honestly like when you go for a drink with a friend. A friend's like, oh, let's go for a drink. You're like, okay. And then you're talking about your day. Oh, it was a bit good, it was a bit bad, whatever. Is that local sports team's pretty good. And then all of a sudden he's just like starts gushing about an ex-girlfriend. He's like, she was amazing. She was everything. Whoa, we came for a drink. Calm down, Dean Vickerman. Jeepers creepers.
Yeah.
Out of line. I don't think it was malice. I really just think he was just like, oh, Jack White, special. Where do I begin? And then he snaps out. You can actually see his tone totally change into the concert and then out of it. He's like, oh, my God, what have I just said?
Yeah. Yeah, you need a little harp playing sort of thing. look, you know, Jack White's a handsome young man. You know, like I'm not surprised that Dean Vickerman sort of looks back with fondness over that season. But no, you can't be doing it that apparently. But having said that, it's kind of caught between a rock and a hard place because last year it was all a with the Wildcats and their import situation, we were saying, just tell us what's going on. We know what's going on. Tell us.
Very keen.
And so what's the, he was honest, but maybe too honest.
You can't compare. You can say, yes, we're cutting an import and his name's Jordan Caroline. It unfortunately, he's a good player. It just hasn't worked out with our situation. Not a problem. That's the crit. But you can't then compare him to someone else. And also misguidedly compare. We were talking about this. They scored 69 points in the game that he then commented on afterwards. And, I mean, that is not uncommon for a Dean Vickerman team in offense. They put up those numbers routinely against the Jack Jumpers in the semifinals with the hallowed Jack White, the tall glass of skim milk that is. And so I think Dean Vickerman's just lost his head a little bit there. And then also the other thing that I didn't like about it, not just the tone of it, these things happen. People misspeak. I can forgive that. But also it was obvious. They can move on from Caroline. However, they can't move on from, and I'm going to be bold, the protected species that is the underperforming NBL local. And in particular, it's Humphreys.
Yeah.
For me. And maybe a little bit of Golding. I actually looked over him again and he's actually played quite well.
It's not too bad. No, he did it. He did enough. If anything, he didn't get the ball enough. And that's what I think it's tough.
Golding's been good. I feel bad bringing his name into the equation. But Vickerman hasn't shown confidence in Caroline from the beginning, playing in behind Barlow. You can't do that. You can't bring in an import and do that. And I think Caroline started one game and then it was to the bench. You can't do that. But having said that, I'm sorry I'm soaking up the mic so much, but it's not a bad strategy from Vickerman. This team's in a bit of trouble and the other imports are not exactly lighting the world on fire. So this is just a chance to just totally just dump it all on the sacrificial lamb and kick it out into the desert and just be like, all the sins of the world are on the sweet baby lamb. If that's what he's playing at, not a bad strategy from Vickerman. What do you think?
It fires people up, maybe. Gets them focused in on what they need to do. Now, this is the game, the game where he made these comments. It was the Sydney game, right? I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, do.
Yeah, it was the Sydney game.
Indeed.
We're in agreement there.
Second last of the round,
Yep. So he had a go, Jordan Caroline, 7 points, 3 of 11 in 26 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, what about Ratan Mays? 2 points, 1 of 7 in almost 31 minutes. Now, I know Ratan Mays has had a few bigger scoring games, but if you're talking about in a press conference in this game, why not throw him under the bus too?
I guess they're intent on keeping him around.
Yeah.
Just that simple. This is a bit of a chess move from Vickerman, I think.
It sort of strikes me as well, a bit of it like Melbourne United, unfamiliar territory, under pressure, not performing. It's been a while since they've been in this situation. And is the pressure starting to get to them?
I'm not so sure. Here's where I'll ask you this question. Are you worried about Melbourne United? And when I say worried, do you think they are a play-in top six team in the NBL?
No.
Wow, top six?
No.
Okay, so but they're below the Kings. We know that. They're below what's the ladder? So they're below Perth? Melbourne United and Perth that far apart? Yeah, they are. At the minute they are, yeah. Sure.
Yeah,
Sydney, Perth, Adelaide, Southeast, Melbourne, Cairns. That puts them in six. If there's another team you can put ahead them, New Zealand, that would bump them out of the six. I think they're in that conversation.
Okay. I think Southeast Melbourne, I think, are really going to start to improve now.
I concur.
Brisbane may cause them some trouble. They've still got all the fixtures against Brisbane, right?
Mm-hmm.
Size.
Yeah, good point.
Inside. So it'll be. I think they're in a little bit of trouble. And Cairns continue to surprise everybody, So if they keep doing that, it could be like a Cairns or something that pushes them out.
Mm. You said unfamiliar territory for United, and I'm actually going to disagree with you on that because this is a tale as old as custard in the NBL, where your roster movability is limited. They've had an injury to what they were thinking was going to be a major player, Porty. He was going to be their starter. I think over Humphreys.
I think so.
That, and this is as old as custard. Starter goes down. How do you fill it? Mm. We saw this with the year that Sydney missed out on the playoffs when they had Adam Ford. Jerome Martin got hurt. They wanted him around. They couldn't cut. We're screwed. done. And they had, you know, they've had a bunch of different, we've seen this in Cairns last year. Now they're quite good. Injuries cripple NBL teams because of the lack of movability. So in that way, I don't think it's very uncommon at all. And then also, I want to throw some stats at your ass, Canyon.
Oh, you like a bit of stat work, don't you?
Sometimes. Melbourne United, 2 wins, 4 losses. So they're only 2 wins in the deficit, 2 wins out of equality.
Yep.
Here's the problem, though. 4th worst defense. This is a team that's historically been top 2 in defense for the last half decade. But they're the 2nd worst offense as well. And that may be worse after this game. I think these stats are this inclusive. But okay. As I was saying before about Vickerman, those games, they scored 69 in this one against the Jack Jumpers in their last 4 games in the, albeit pressure of the semifinals, but still, they scored 73, 72, 63, 61. Vickerman's teams can't score. They felt too tight. And we're going to talk about that, especially in relation to another game. XRM is 13th in PER. The next closest is Aquera, 33rd.
Ooh, wow.
Humphreys. Here's a stat that is going to blow you away. 18, the number 18. Why do you suppose that's significant when Isaac Humphreys is concerned?
I have no idea. 18.
Here we go. Humphreys has as many turnovers as free throw attempts. 18. Inexcusable. Okay. 1 turnover is worth 1. A trip to the line is worth 2 or 3. Sometimes 1, actually. Good point. But this guy's on $500,000. 18 free throw attempts. He's 7 feet tall.
Yes.
I saw one move. I knew they were going to lose when he caught a rebound and faded away under the hoop, under pressure. I was like, nope.
Yeah,
they're going to lose. And then here's the thing. I'm going to be brutal. This is a segment called Backing Them Up. Looking around the league, if you've got the website open, go around the league and Humphreys is backing up every big. Brisbane, Baines, backing him up. Cairns, Pinder, backing him up. Perth, maybe we can talk.
Maybe.
Probably their best player in the front court. Adelaide, Franks or Johnson, backing him up.
Yeah, the list goes on. I see what you're saying.
And
even Froling and Illawarra.
Sam Froling, he's backing him up. He is backing him up. So I've gone on my tirade. I just want to say, unspoken thing here, Shea Illy, 10th best defensive rating player last year. The guy can defend. He gives so much role clarity to that team. The weight is lifted off X-ray. What is his status? What's happening? Is he okay? I'm genuinely concerned for his health. This is peculiar.
Yeah, it's got a bit of the Matt Knights about it, really.
Totally.
Where, you know, just who knows? And look, if I don't, you know, teams play coy with injuries and that kind of stuff. But this is just worrying because it's like a head injury. It can be debilitating, you know, in somebody's life. And I think it deserves more upfrontness, if that's a word, than what we're getting.
Andrew, we're a month into the season.
Yep.
I mean, for an NBL player to miss a month, he's missed 6 games. Mm. What, 6 into 24? It's a lot. Yeah, it's, I can't be bothered.
28 games, yeah. It's quarter of the season almost. So
let's jump into something else. Let's go to the game. So we've basically talked about Melbourne, Sydney. Let's talk about the other Melbourne game. We're jumping out of order. We're doing the games from the round.
Oh,
Melbourne
boy.
Cairns.
That's right. Sorry, blowing up my system, man.
I know. I'm sorry to do it to you.
I take notes on all these games. I keep them in a nice little list, and they're just blowing it up. That's all right.
It's the second game on your list.
I'm flexible. It's okay. I'm good.
This is what I've heard. Pinder against Melbourne. Massacred Humphreys. Just too movable. There was a time where Pinder caught it on the three-point arc. I feel like I'm ragging on Humphreys. He's an okay player. Great singer. Pinder caught it on the three-point line, took 2 hard dribbles baseline, went right by him. I thought, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Long night. Long night. And drew the foul. What do you think of this game?
The note I have on this game is simply says Pinder is a beast.
It's unreal.
The guy is just, he's just taken it just like, and this is what Adam Ford's saying, is what everybody's saying. He's gone to another level. But what he's just kind of a different, he's like a different kind of dude to what we usually see in the NBL because he's strong, but he's super quick and so athletic and just jumps for everything. He's still got that really youthful, you know, jumping. High altitude jump to him. Yeah, he can really get up, but he's so strong. I love it. I love watching him play. He's one of my favorite players to watch now.
Well, he's just so athletic. No yeah. one other than Cooks can really compete with him athletically in the front court. It would have been Huck Porty as well. Didn't happen. Magnave healthy. Outside of that, there's no one who can keep who's got his quickness, his the combination.
I'll give you a comp and see.
Unsurprisingly,
if you
though,
me here.
The big man stocks dipped. We spoke about it in the
yeah, offseason. Yeah.
And he has taken, but you know, in a vacuum, he has taken total control and. And it's good to see.
I reckon, so this is my comp, right?
Mm.
Pinder and Cam Oliver.
Okay. No, way right. quicker, way quicker laterally.
Yeah, so but Cam Claire, Oliver, better shoot, better shooter, Cam
yeah,
Oliver.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And maybe marginally more athletic.
Certainly more, bigger, like took up more space on the court. Cam Oliver was massive.
Yeah. He but was. I just think Pinder is basically being the Cam Oliver of this team now. And I'm all here for it. You know, I'm loving it.
Mm.
The other thing on this game, Melbourne Cairns, like Cairns never give up. They just keep yeah. coming at you. And Melbourne, this is another one where they just had no system. It's like I wrote down here, it's the jungle ball boogie. They're just getting down. It's just like you have a turn, I have a turn. I'm going to do some stupid like one-on-one move and then I'm going to shoot it because I want to look cool and I'm the best import.
Oh, that's a Tucker dig.
It is Tucker D.
Now he's guaranteed. Put him in your fantasy teams now, people. He's bound to have a good one. And his mother's coming out. I think I like Tucker. I still like him because for this team, he actually gets to the foul line. Look at the foul numbers. He makes things happen. And on a team that's currently at present soft as a cloud and old as a cloud, Barlow's not getting to the line, Golding not getting to the line. It's just him and XRM that are getting to the line. And you need that for pace of play. You need that, especially if you're a defensive team. The other thing I was going to say is this is the end of that game. Vickerman is too uptight. All right. Vickerman's good at throwing shade on Caroline. I'm going to throw a little back on Vickerman. Too uptight. That last play of the game, XRM, Xavier Rathamays is inbounding. The play is obviously for Golding.
Yep.
And maybe too explicitly so because Tucker comes off an amazing pick baseline and is wide open in the corner. And I mean, has days to catch it. But you could tell that the play was for Golding and Golding alone. And then when Golding couldn't get open,
yep.
the ball went to Tucker and he had to take a tough shot. Got fouled, missed foul shots. But if he'd caught that in rhythm, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it. And I feel like Caroline's been sort of set up to fail here. I don't like it.
Don't like it.
But I will say Melbourne United, Illy and Peatling. Are still to come back. I don't worry about this team. Two wins against bad teams and they're back in. They're losing to the good teams. Cairns are a good team. Sydney are a good team and they've lost.
I
beat Perth and Perth.
We'll talk about them. That's confusing, right? There's so many issues rising from that, throws everything out. I still think Melbourne are cooked, but I recognize that you had them picked in your playoffs. So you're mounting a strong argument to keep them in there, right? Just like I would mount a strong argument for Brisbane to finish second or whatever I said, or first or whatever idiot thing I said.
I think I have a lot more territory to defend than you. I think that one may be over. However, they got a little trouble. Let's move on. Let's go back to the first game of the round, New Zealand and Southeast Melbourne. What do you think? What do you got?
I don't have a lot here. It was just a blowout game. Southeast Melbourne played well. I didn't watch this game with great interest, I've got to say. I think I had other things going on. So I can't really give a lot of value to this. It's a bit of a cop-out, isn't it?
Well, I'll say two words that I think sum up this game and Southeast Melbourne in particular. Role clarity. I now really like the rotation. It takes a little bit of the decision-making away from Simon Mitchell, which is good. Not the criticism of him, but the less questions you're asking on the regular, the better. This team all of a sudden, when healthy, really has a nice pat to the rotation.
Yep.
Kells, Brown, Williams, Brokoff, Creek, Adnam, Jochi, Tarangi off the bench.
It suddenly looks pretty strong, doesn't it, when you rattle off all those names?
Yeah. Good size, decent defensively, options inside, outside. And you know, Jochi, it's not working. He's kind of come off the bench. I like Adnam. Has he got it? He doesn't. Okay, let's go with Brown. I really like the role clarity. Gary Brown, simple thing. they had Adam shooting every time. Now he gets healthy. In this game, 9 assists, 3 turnovers. Yeah. Assist to turnover ratio, 3-1. That's very good. I got a stat for you. I got a funky stat. This is for New Zealand fans. The Arfa. The Arfa. Have a guess where he ranks in field goal attempts. Now, I can't remember if I did this at the end of the round or just the end of this game. Yeah. But nonetheless, where do you think he sits?
Field goal attempts for New Zealand.
As in the whole league.
Oh, league.
So you got, is he in the top 10, 20? Okay, well, what do you think?
He's always been a volume shooter, and he's sort of kept that up despite the talent he has around him. So I'm going to put him in about 12th.
Very good game. He's 14th.
Oh, okay.
Just under 13 a game. Guess what percentage he's shooting from the field?
Okay, about 32%.
You are very, very close. Before I tell you the number, this is the 6th worst shooting percentage in the league, 29%.
Okay, I'm legit not looking, but I'm really patting myself on the back there with those.
29. So 14th in attempts, 6th worst in. Let's move on.
And can I just say, that is evidence that I didn't watch much of this game, but we watch a lot of games. So I was able to pick that out. That was
amazing.
I'm proud of myself there.
As you should be. Sydney, Adelaide. What do you got for me?
Sydney, Adelaide. This Adelaide, when they shoot like the Golden State Warriors, you can't beat them. You know, if they shoot like that, it's game over. But you don't know if they're going to shoot like that. It's their three point percentage. Oh, you have some stats, man. This is the one thing that makes me worry, because I got a bit of heat on Twitter because I went out and I said, taking it to the tweet style.
Sure.
Hit the music if you want.
I think I've still got that sting. If not, you're not hearing it. Sorry.
The people love it, right?
People do love that sting.
I went out and said, the Kings are so far ahead of the rest of the league, it's not funny.
Indeed.
And I got a lot of pushback saying,
good tweet, solid tweet, by the way. Sometimes right level of genuineness and provocativeness was fantastic.
Thank you. Sometimes you've got to go out there with a statement. Mm. And people come back and go, Adelaide so high kind of thing because they got the win. But I don't see it. No. Adelaide shot 3-point percentage wise, 40% to 21%.
You're stealing my stats. Kings. You're stealing my stats, man.
No, they won by 4 points, shooting 40%. And that was they couldn't play a better game.
No better game in the world. And you've put it, Randall did it again. 6 of 11 from the outside. He and Franks took 21 combined 3-point attempts. And the 36ers took 35 and made, as you say, 40% of them.
Yeah.
Guess how many points Adelaide conceded in the paint. And this is what will kill them. I don't care how well they shoot. You cannot hold this up over 28 games. You cannot hold it up over a semifinal series. I don't care.
Maybe 60 points?
50. You are on the 58 points.
Oh, man.
58 in the paint. Nah.
That's a lot of points to give up, especially in such a three-point shooting-focused league.
Oh, bother.
It's just 58. Easy money.
That's, man. I mean, the average score is what, 80, 90? That's over half. It's just an astronomical number. And there's no blueprint to get better for them. And the other thing as well, the simple calibrations that the Kings need to make to beat this team in the future. They shot 21% from the outside. They shot 53% from the line.
Yeah.
8 of 15.
Oh, there's a game right there on a 4-point game.
I will say this though. What's the if you had to assess the Kings' one soft white underbelly, or maybe there's more, but what would you say their soft white underbelly is? I've got a name here.
Okay, their soft white underbelly is a bit rough, but it's when they bring in that rotation with sort of Angus Glover and guys like that who just the pedal comes off just a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's fine. He's only given them spot minutes anyway. Oh, and one other, sorry. Kawhi Noi.
Bang. That's the name I've got right.
Sorry, I almost
here.
Forgot that. That should have been my initial reaction. Kawhi Noi, feel free. I've got thoughts, but you go ahead.
I just want to say this. If they're thinking he's a – so who are their imports again? They've got Walton Jr., point guard.
Yep. They got Suarez.
Suarez and of Justin Simon.
Yeah.
What the guy who was the difference maker last year was Ian Clark, super talent. His position is kind of irrelevant, but he was just such a scoring punch off the bench. I mean, often their stat box was, all the scorers would score and he'd had 20 and no one else on the bench would have done today.
Yeah.
He was their whole bench. If they're thinking they can get 50% of his production from Noi, I have my doubts. I have my grave doubts. What do you think?
Noi is the ultimate black hole. he as soon as he gets the ball, that's the end of the offense. Right? You know that ball's going up. He does not pass it, and nor should he, because when he occasional time I've seen him throw a pass, it leads to a turnover or a bad pass. And then when he shoots, like, it doesn't matter. Like, he's just going to shoot. It's like, you know, when you're a kid and you play in the playground, you're mucking around with your friends, and there's always that one kid that plays and will just chuck it up every single time.
Oh yeah,
everybody's had that guy, right? He is that kid. Mm. Drive you crazy. I don't rate him highly at all.
Well, they need to get something out of him, and just to show up that bench, because that's their one for me. A little bit of a soft white underbelly.
Yeah.
Let's jump on. Southeast Melbourne, Brisbane. Southeast Melbourne beat Brisbane, as you would think. Mm-hmm. Creek had 31. Doesn't surprise me. Athletic front court player scores on Brisbane. Like, mail it to the start of the season when I might have cared. Sorry. That's catty. Sorry. Brisbane have conceded 109 points to Swift power forwards in the last four games. So guys like Creek, Pinder.
Yeah.
Maybe Sam Frolling. I can't remember. Maybe Sam Frolling. I really can't remember who, but every team with a point guard, a power forward who can catch it at the high post, turn and put it on the deck, is going to score and score big against this team. Fantasy players out there, poach that is my advice. Again, this is a stat I'm watching with Brisbane, and then I'll throw it to you, Canyon. But 17 turnovers, they lead the league. They led the game. Offensive rebounds, they are worst in the league, and they had five in this game. 17 turnovers is too many, and five offensive rebounds. You got Aaron Baines. He should just be able to vacuum up more than five as a team. Can you? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't look great.
They look better in the other one. We'll talk about that.
It didn't look great. My question coming out of this game, and it probably leads to your point, is what is the point of Harry Frolling? Oh. Like, we have heard for years that this guy's good. He occasionally has a game where he shoots the three ball well, but I don't really want him shooting threes anyway because he's too big. I want him inside actually having an impact. He's slow. He still looks unfit. I just don't see the point of Harry Frolling.
Well,
love it. You know, like, nice guy. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not taking him personally, but as a player on a basketball team in the NBL, I don't see the point of him.
I have grave concerns about this, the Bullets. And just the organization and just the way they've built their roster and the small gym and the way they play, it's so meek. And like, guys just sort of come to the team and immediately return to their old team. Like, Drimmick couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Yeah.
Seemingly. I'm just like, ugh. And then I'm going to say this from the very beginning. This is why I didn't like this team from the get-go. Baines has never played more than 25 minutes. He played 30 seconds over in the win. And it took its toll on him. He was exhausted. He played really well, credit to him. But in a game, here's an organization that at that time was 0-4 and soon to be 0-5 after losing it.
Yep.
And Baines still just played the 25 minutes. And I thought, you're looking at 0-5, worst start in a long time down the barrel.
Yeah, and balls to the wall, boys.
Ball, you know, like, whoa, and it's like, oh, but nah, can't play more than 20 contractually. I have no doubt it's top billing in the contract. De'Aaron Baines, we will not play you more than 25 minutes and get you ready back for the year. How can you be a good NBL team when your best player is focused on something else? And listen, I'm not being trivial about the injury and terrible. Good luck to you. But, you know, you can't do it on Brisbane Bullets fans' time. And that's that. Yeah, I just thought it was cynical.
Anytime Jason Kadee is your team's leading scorer, you got problems.
He's playing well.
He is playing well, but there's no way that he should be a leading scorer on an NBL team.
You said it. We'll skip over Melbourne, Sydney. We've done it. Illawarra, Brisbane. So we just slagged them off. Now they won. Hey! Can I ask you this question, Canyon? What's a worse number for the Hawks? The 56 points they scored as a team? Uh-huh. Well, the fact that only 2,011 people were in attendance. What's worse? Be honest.
Well, one begets the other. But look, I think the 2,000 in attendance.
There was a time where Sam Frolling was taking a foul shot and I mean, you could have, George Mirosan could have laid up in the stands. Like, there was just that many seats empty in a row. I mean, there was nobody there. It was so, I felt so bad. It was a what, Tuesday?
Monday night. And it's like the NBL have also given up on this team. It's like, we know you're not going to draw.
Don't be at all surprised.
You have the crappy fixture.
Don't be at all surprised if the Hawks have gone to that stadium and said, what
the
night can we
night.
Get here?
Yeah.
It's like, well, we've got bingo on Monday. Can you outbid them? I think so. I have grave concerns with Gorgon gone. The absolute guts has been cut out of it. 56 points. They look dreadful. Harvey, my gosh, and bother. I'm off. I'm out. I'm off the train. I've been a supporter for a long time. I'm officially, I am officially.
Yep.
Oh, the team's so bad. Like, you can just go, I'm still talking myself back. But I can't. No, I'm off. I'm off. I'm out. But I do sympathize with the guy where you just know, teams just know he's the one guy. Get him. It's brutal.
Yeah. Look, I think they'll get Peyton Seaver, and I think Peyton Seaver might help Froehling a little bit. He's had a huge drop off this year.
Huge drop off.
He's just fallen apart from where he was last year. Just doesn't seem to have that same sort of rim run that he had last year. It just seems like I feel like the team are also looking around going, nobody's here to watch us. Nobody cares.
Doesn't matter. Are we in a vacuum?
We're not going to win anyway. Like,
it's bad.
You've got just look down the list, right? So you've got Tyler Harvey, who promised me last week in the press conference that shooting is fine. He's going to be okay. Let's not.
You broke a promise, Tyler Harvey.
5 of 18 at 27% for 13 points, 2 of 9 3-pointers. You got to the line twice. Now, Tyler Harvey, I've not ever played NBL. However, I'm just going to say, Tyler Harvey, if you're having trouble scoring, get to the free throw line, okay? And you're not going to get to the free throw line with little floaters. Attack the rim. Take a layup. Come on, get hit.
Oh, dear. They're a mess. If I could just run some numbers by Andrew, and you're a smart guy. You've been in business. 2,000 tickets. Let's say average cost of a ticket, $100 for math's sake.
Yeah.
That's $200,000 turnover for that game, right? Am I right in that?
Yeah, there's no way it was that much, though. You're not paying $100 to go watch the Hawks.
Well, that's exactly
what it's like. $20.
Let's say, best case scenario, it's $100 a ticket. $200,000 in the house. Minus venue hire, travel, payroll. And a reminder, the salary floor in the NBL, so the minimum a team has to spend is $1.7 million a year. So that's a minimum of $70,000 per game. That's player wages alone. So already, $70,000 of that. You only got $130,000 to cover all those expenses on the night. I've got two words here for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not sustainable. Got to move the team. It's been talked about forever, but this is the product. It's not even an issue of, oh, the attendance is bad. The on-court product is suffering as a result.
Yeah. The whole thing looks sad. I mean,
it looks sad.
The thing that Illawarra Hawks should be thankful of. They should be encouraging every other team to spend over the cap so they can get some of that money back.
That must be their only recourse.
Right? That's how they're staying alive, because other teams are subsidizing it. But this team, you're right. On-court product looks ugly. That venue looks sad and dilapidated. I know they fixed up some lights and they had, this year, so they tried. Hasn't really made a difference. Even down to the camera angle, you're in that, you've got ceiling cam.
Let me say this. I feel bad sorry to cut you off, but I feel really bad for Tim Conrad, especially. Because if you've got.
I know where you go with this.
If you've got, it's a little patchy on the dome. If you're a little patchy on the dome, you do not want to be playing at the, what is it, WEC or whatever it is. You do not, because it is just a tractor beam for the old bird nest on top. Not fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
not fair. So if you're a younger man, it doesn't matter. But Conrad's been around a while. He can all the Rogaine in the world. Bless his heart. Not going to happen. And
I like the way he's growing the extra beard, though. Is kind of, it's the compensation.
Looks great.
It's almost like the modern Phil Smythe approach. Phil Smythe would do the comb over. Timmy Conrad's just growing the beard longer and longer. Look, I can still do it. Grow hair.
Yeah, they're dire. I mean, the question, I'll ask you. We've sort of come to the end of the games. So I want to ask you one overarching question. Wooden Spoon, Brisbane, Illawarra, gun to the head. Who are you saying?
Illawarra.
What's their record at the minute? Do you happen to have it? Because Brisbane obviously 1-5. Well,
they're over, right? Oh, no, they won. Did they won one, didn't they?
They won one. Didn't they?
This is how much. Wow, we really checked out on the.
Oh, come on. It's unwatchable. They're dreadful. 56 points. Jeez.
It's so bad. And what's happened to Wani? Wani is just.
The role's not
falling
fit.
Apart.
The role's not there. Like before, it was you didn't have to, you know, you had Jalen Adams sucking up double and triple teams, you know? Yeah, you got some layups.
Yeah. The only good thing coming out of this season for Illawarra Hawks so far has been Lockie Dent.
Yes, agreed.
And can you just clarify with me, when Xavier Retan-Mays is commentating, which I hate, by the way, right. But when he's doing it, is he saying Lockie or is he using a nickname and calling him Lucky? I cannot figure it out.
Yeah, great question. I think he's wanting to say Lockie, but it certainly sounds.
It sounds like Lucky. And it's like, yeah, is it just an accent thing or is it that that's the nickname that he had last year, you know, when they were playing together and so he calls him Lucky?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I can't figure it out. So,
question for the presser, young man.
Yeah.
I'll leave that in your hands. I'm barred at the door. Not with those shoes. Get out of here. Let's go have a quick look at the coming round. Hey, here's one. Thursday night.
What do you got for me?
Brisbane hosts the Hawks. Ooh.
Man, that must-see TV. Where's it being played at? It would be that Brisbane, right? Yeah.
It's in Brisbane, yeah.
Oh, man. What an
exciting. They'll win that, surely. We didn't – Baines was good. Baines was very good. He looked dominant in the first half. We tried. So,
that pass, he was about to shoot the little jump shot and then just flicked it to the corner. That was
pretty cool. He was just around the hoop. He was just monster. He monstered the game. He looked tired, though. Boy, he's only got 25 minutes in him, so.
Yeah.
All
right. So Thursday night, we're going to say Brisbane should take care Brisbane of the Hawks. Yeah.
Game of the round. We've got here. I'll throw you. You tell me which one you like best. Perth hosts Southeast Melbourne in Perth.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney hosts Cairns in Sydney.
Mm.
Southeast Melbourne and the Adelaide 36ers in John Cain Arena.
Yep.
Was that where they play? Yeah. And then lastly, another good one, Melbourne-Perth. Wow, this is a good round.
Yeah, some good matchups this round.
You got a favourite?
The one I'd probably pick, probably Southeast Melbourne-Adelaide.
Ooh, really?
I think that's the one I'd pick.
They're teams that are on the boil. Like, okay, are you top four or top six?
I kind of like the mismatch because Adelaide, you know, three-point bombing. Southeast Melbourne now have that front line solidified. I think they'll try and pound it inside a bit and get to that Daniel Johnson underbelly. You know, the contrasting styles might be one to watch for that.
I think at home, I'd be very surprised if Southeast Melbourne don't win. I think they've been riding hot shooting and hot shooting goes cold.
Yep.
Although Southeast Melbourne's defense, so Perth, Southeast Melbourne in Perth doesn't. Oh, hang on, Southeast Melbourne are on the second of a back to back, having travelled from Perth. Adelaide were at home.
I guess New Zealand. That's all right.
Well, they host New Zealand, and then they only have to travel to Melbourne. Whereas Southeast Melbourne have got to go Melbourne.
Oh, Perth, I see. What you're
Perth
saying. Yeah.
Back to Melbourne.
Yeah,
that fatigue in the second game, that doesn't bother you?
Nah.
Okay.
They're professional athletes.
Tell me this. Sydney Cairns drew your attention, but not as much as that other game. Why not? There's a top of the table clash, isn't it?
I know. Sydney Cairns has the potential to be a really good one too. I don't know what you're going to get from them. I still don't know what you're going to get.
My question for you was like, are they second on the ladder? Are they legit? Are they a top 14?
Well, I say no. It's a bit fool's gold at the moment, I think.
Totally.
So I think
there's
this
been
will be...
a lot of injuries, but they've beaten good teams.
I know. So they could be. So maybe this is the game of the round then, because it will tell us where they're really at.
I think they're going to get smacked. Absolutely smacked in Sydney.
Okay.
I mean, like a 10-point loss. It's not going to be a pantsing or anything, but I think Sydney are going to take them seriously and Cooks on Pinder, and that's a good enough matchup. And they win every other matchup in my book. So,
yep.
I think definitely Sydney.
And the Perth Southeast Melbourne game, I'm going to that game. And I'm going to go into the my plan is to go into the press conference in person, not the Zoom stuff. I'm going to go in and confront them with my questions. So,
do we skip a game? We did Perth play this round and we didn't talk about them?
Yeah, that's right. We have. I feel like we've been a bit Perth heavy recently. So I just. quietly skipped over them. They got smashed by Tassie, man.
Yeah, no, we got to talk about that. Sorry, here it is. I've clipped it on my notes. Sorry, everyone. Sheesh.
I was just staying quiet because I'm like, oh, that game was...
Don't say quiet. The voice, sing the voice like a trumpet. Let's talk about Perth quickly and then we'll end it. We'll run a bit long.
I don't want to talk about Perth. I want to talk about Tassie. Can a whoop ass. Man. When you... Do you know what summed this game up for me? Who was it? Was it Sam McDaniel? I can't remember who it was because it was so brutal by that point. Shot this three-pointer, clunked right off the sort of the back of the rim, sort of in between the rim and the backboard. Ugly shot, had no rights to go in. It just clunked, sat there, and dropped in. I was like, that's the kind of game they're having.
Do you remember when they lost those first couple of games? They said, I don't worry about the Jack Jumpers.
Yeah, you were pretty smart on that one.
They control. I was like, they don't look good, but... They control pace. They play on their stand, and they don't give up. And you know what? I got to hand it to Scott Roth. He's a hell of a team plays well. Every cut has meaning and consequence. Every pass is given without duress.
Yep.
Every shot is taken at its best. They are a really good team, and I feel so embarrassed. I mean, luckily I took them on the over, but I was embarrassed I didn't have them a lock for top six, top four.
Yeah.
They're good. They're just good. And Doyle is like, I knew those imports were going to be okay. I liked the added size. I thought Majette and Adams sort of a little bit small for my taste. But
they don't beat themselves, the Jack Jumpers. No. They never do anything silly. They never drop their heads. They just, you know, if something doesn't go well for them, they kind of go, oh, all right, let's. They might have a little, Majette will have a bit of a whinge, and then they get on with it. You know, they're a really, really impressive team.
You got them top four?
Yeah, have to.
Top two?
Top three. I don't know who's ahead of them though. Sydney for sure. maybe Adelaide, but I'm not convinced actually.
Nah, not convinced. No. I like Sydney. Let's talk about Perth. I mean, we're not gonna answer that question because it's too early, but Perth. Boy oh boy,
something's not right. It's a bit whiffy.
When you spend an import spot on a guy, I mean, having said that, Mooney was 1 year out of college, but a different circumstance, a different body, different player, different type. But
yep.
I thought, oh, UNC, aren't we sexy? He's got a beard. I don't think it was a who's going to deliver rebounds and toughness for the city of Perth.
Yeah, it's like a marketing ploy. Who's going to?
A little bit. It was a sexy hire. We all liked it. And he's a good guy, good player, I'm sure, but. This is a Perth walk.
He's not ready. He's not ready. He's not too ready. Raw. He's
not ready for an import spot. Next up, bang on. Absolutely. Yep. Fruitly, but not import. No.
Yeah, he's basically Luke Travers last year.
Yeah.
It's kind of where he's at. You know, guy handy to have. Don't rely on him. Bring him off the bench.
What's the cure? What do you do?
Get Bryce Cotton his citizenship. Yeah. That would be number one. They need some mongrel.
There's no toughness.
They just like they used to always have. They'd have a Damian Martin, or they'd have a younger Jesse Wagstaff, who's a bit of a play like a bastard, you know. Sean Redditch. They just had guys who were like, and not gonna stand out. Now it's just all it's Todd Blanchfield, and just kind of, you know, there's no grit.
Imports, Thomas or Caroline, of whom would you choose?
Well, it's hard to say because we've hardly seen Thomas. He looked good in the preseason.
Played 18 minutes.
For the little bit
one.
That we saw. He did nothing in this game.
Nothing.
A couple of little hook shots.
Sometimes you just take a whooping.
Yeah.
And also Jack Jumpers are a good team and they were at home. Yeah. They're at home.
Yep.
You know. But this is just a worry for me. I'm getting the same vibes as last year from the Wildcats a little bit. Are you?
Yeah, I am. I am indeed.
And in what way?
Like there's a there's just not the hunger. They just don't seem to care. I think it's just there's no back against the wall mentality here. They're just going through the motions. And it's like they'll say, oh yeah, we're trying hard, but are they really? Are they jumping on the loose ball? You know, are they willing to stand, you know, get in front of a Brian Conklin elbow to win a ball? Like they used to.
Yeah, yeah. Who can I ask this question? Was it Corey who was saying, like, who's the third best player behind Bryce Cotton? Who's the second best player on this team? It was one of the commentary team. Okay. And I do forget. Apologies, whoever said that, but it was a really good question to ask. I think it was Homicide. Anyway, who's the second best player on the Wildcats? These good. Names.
Depends
Blanchfield,
on the game.
Norton, Thomas, Manick, Webster, Travers, Wagstaff, Sherville. Who is it?
No one
routinely.
Undefined. Divide by zero. Don't know. Can't answer it. Mm. Yeah.
I like it. I like what you're putting.
That is that's a really good question.
Look at this. Like the Wildcats, 15 turnovers. When do the Wildcats commit 15 turnovers in a game? 6 offensive rebounds. This is not the Trevor Gleeson Wildcats. Watch this space. Yep, that's it.
Yeah, so there you go.
45 minutes on the pin. Hey, we didn't forget anything either. We move fast here. We got to make some cuts too. We may have said some stuff that's not quite on the level. Hey, everyone out there, jump on the Discord if you just want to have some NBL chat. Andrew and I are both occasionally on there, but more importantly, the other listeners are on there, fans are on there. You can do whatever you wish. Yep.
And with Elon Musk about to be buying Twitter, you don't want to be on Twitter anymore.
No, forget Twitter.
He's sacking everybody who works there. You know, you got to find a different place to hang out.
Soon he's just going to get AI bots writing. You know that's what's going to happen, right? He's just going to blow up the usership by making bots that write stuff. And I think so. I saw this thing the other day that's like an AI that writes copywriting. I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah, there's no hope for the humans.
No, none at all. If you're a computer and listening, consider becoming a patron. but thanks, everyone. Yeah, and also if you're a human as well, do consider becoming a patron. We'd appreciate that. You don't get a heck of a lot of bang for your buck. But honest to God, like they say, stress the benefits of Patreon. Honestly, you get a chance. It's a nominal fee. It's like $1 an episode. But you get moral high ground. Superiority. You know, you're listening and you're paying for it. You're not a freeloader, cheapskate, a thief.
You get a special badge if you go into the Discord and you're
special
a Patreon member.
And when we hit a round number, we do a sort of shout out type thing that can be fun.
It's coming up to one of those.
I must admit that we're at 28 or 9, I think. I must admit the last one we did, none of the patrons were terribly congratulatory, but...
look, you know.
No, they're a good bunch. Love the patrons. We're rambling.
Too. We are.
Andrew, final word is yours.
You always leave me the final word and I never have a final word ready to go. Bananas.